This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's 6 o'clock on Dukes and Bell, the number one sports talk show in Atlanta for your ride home.
David Green, our guest, guys. We've talked to a bunch of guys about this. I want your perspective on it, David. How many guys have you heard from that either you played with or that maybe you saw at the game that you hadn't seen in many years?
This was a connecting moment for players. I can't tell you how many buddies I saw when I was there. I'm on multiple group texts with, you know, some of the older guys I played with when I was young and then some of the younger guys that I played with when I was a little bit older. So the dog, you know, the Letterman and that whole deal, I mean, we are beyond thrilled because, trust me, we want it as bad as those guys do, and we know how hard it is.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, man, we talked to so many dogs over the last few weeks from the national championship game leading up to the parade and then the celebration in the stadium. It was so much fun on Saturday, man. Big shout-out to everybody that stopped by at Grindhouse Killer Burgers and hung out with Dukes and Bell. John Chucker was out there with us. We had just a great time, man. It was so much fun. And, you know, Mike, to see all the dog fans, man, and then I got home at the celebration and then see the footage, whether it was drone footage or,
right,
you know, the footage of the stadium. And I was like, damn, that's awesome, man.
That looked good, man. And Kirby's comments and, again, all the recruits that were there was an area cordoned off, as we told you on Saturday, for potential Georgia recruits. And obviously there was another signing period to come after the early signing period. But getting news that basically almost the entire secondary, save for one guy transferring to Michigan State, is going to be there. I mean, a lot of the guys are coming back. Everybody named Smith seems like is coming back, which is kind of big. So, you know, Tyke is coming back. And, again, he got injured, the transfer from West Virginia. We'll talk more about it in the headlines. But good news for Georgia, just as you said, waiting for the other shoe to drop with Stetson Bennett.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one. And listen, I kind of get the feeling that with JT's decision, you know, again, he is waiting to enter the portal because there's some things he's got to get done, meaning graduate and being able to go anywhere he wants to play. But I kind of get the sense, Mike, knowing that it's going to happen, that probably Stetson Bennett is coming back, man. I keep thinking, why not, right? I keep trying to convince myself, why would I leave? I know why I would leave. But then the other side of it is, well, why not? You only get this chance once in your life. You're never going to get a chance to relive this moment, right, once it's gone. When he's 30 and he goes, damn, I wish I would have came back for another year, it's too late. So if you're going to do it, you need to do it. And if he does it, as I said earlier, I think Kirby says, if you come back, we trust you. We just won a national championship with you, and I'm good. Why wouldn't you be?
Yeah, I mean, Nolan Smith, that's a bit surprising, but he's going to return. We already mentioned Tyke Smith coming back. You got Justin Schaefer of the offensive line. I think that was expected. Also, Darian Kendrick. But, yeah, man, the good news is, though, you still got the base there. I mean, and we've talked about the job that Sam Pittman did. And then, you know, you bring in Luke, and Coach Matt Luke comes in from Ole Miss and does a fantastic job. So they're still – it's not like they're, you know, going to be Alabama is in a better position, but Georgia will reload with some guys and have some veterans and upperclassmen, especially in that secondary, right? That's good news.
They are. Leadership always matters, man. It always helps. Hey, coming up in about 15 minutes, as we've been talking about the NFL playoffs, and everything that's going on, what about our Falcons? Because I know you're wondering, and Mike, we'll get into who may be here, who may not be here. Speaking of that, no update on Calvin Ridley, guys. And I don't know, Mike, when we're going to get the official update. You know, when are they going to officially say, hey, nothing to see over here, we're good, or right, hey, we've made a decision and this is what that is?
Well, 3 weeks ago we had Steve Weish on, and he was the one who said he thinks that and again, this is what Steve said. Steve, from his what he's hearing, well-respected NFL journalist, that there was not a lot of give and take or communication between the two parties, from the Falcons and with Calvin Ridley's camp. I read Jeff Schultz's article, and he said there's more layers to the situation than some people would acknowledge. And again, some people, I don't think Calvin Ridley's situation was a ploy to somehow get to another team. I just think whatever. Again, we don't know what it is. I mean, I don't think Jeff apparently has got some inside track on that, but I don't know where we stand. I do know this. For moving off the roster for whatever reason, there's no guarantee you're going to get a high draft pick for Calvin Ridley until other teams know exactly where he stands. I don't think that guy today on Twitter said, well, I guess we have to draft a wide receiver. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? I mean, I got the worst defense. I got the worst pass rush in the NFL. I've got to go offensive line or defensive line. Chuck Smith, and we'll have plenty of time to break it down, but Carl, Chuck said today it's one of the best defensive end drafts ever.
I got to go pass rusher.
I have to.
What's the date? January 18th,
mm-hmm.
Pass rush. February 18th, I'll say the same thing. March 18th, I'll say the same thing.
Right.
Guys, it's got to get fixed. Dean Pease cannot run the defense he wants to run, okay? And being effective as it needs to be, if we cannot rush the passer better without creating all these different blitz packages. We ran all that stuff and still didn't get to the quarterback, Mike. We ran all that stuff. You know, guys zipping and zapping and in and out. And we still didn't get enough sacks. So we need a difference maker. And if you're telling me this is a draft that has difference makers in it, we got to go edge. If you're telling me you want to draft a wide receiver because you're not sure about Calvin Ridley in the third round, great. I am not spending the first round pick on that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know that wide receiver and the sexy positions, but I mean the franchise, part of the reason we're here is we've doubled down on the sexier stuff. The one draft we did go and get, McGarry and Lindstrom, I think Lindstrom is showing out. I think that McGarry is, I think the right side is okay. But the center of the line is really a question mark. I mean, some guys say give Mayfield a better center next to him. I love the center. Was it Lindman, the kid from Iowa?
Yep.
Lindenbaum, I don't know how high he would necessarily go. Would he be like worth a top 10 pick? I mean, you could also argue, Carl, what we thought we might do last draft is go back and load up. All the Georgia players are projected. I mean, this is before the combine will bring more things, don't you agree, Carl, into focus? But right now, a lot of Georgia players that people covet are slated between 10 and like the end of the first round.
Yeah, so, I, and again, I'm not going to tell you right now who I'm focused on because I'm not. There's still a lot of information to be learned between now and the draft, which, you know, we go through this every year. But yeah, I just position-wise, if we're on the whiteboard right now and you go, all right, coach.
Right.
You know, you write down quarterback. You scratch a line through that. Don't – no. Offensive line, okay, maybe we move that down. And you start to figure out what is the most important position that we need that's going to affect this football team. And, guys, I just don't know. Can we go get a Bosa, Mike? Did you see Bosa in that game against
before
he got hurt? Can we go get a Bosa?
Oh, man, I've never had so much, like, pass rush envy that I'm having right now. I mean, you and I just – we've touched on all the guys out there that, like, it's no more point in talking about, well, you know, we could have had, you know, T.J. Watt or – it's – forget it. It's ship has sailed. Now, how do we make things better? One of the things that Jeff Schultz points out in the article, and there's another article, there's a link to it. There's an article that was printed up earlier in The Athletic that Josh Kendall did, which this is about a week or two ago. It gets into all the roster projections, but you and I spoke, I brought this up to you last week. Grady Jarrett is going into his last year. 2022 is the last year on his current deal. Obviously, Dean Pease loves him. We all love Grady. But if you want to, do you feel moving forward, I want to give Grady another big-time contract, or do I try to trade Grady to a team who's prepared to spend money on him?
I think everybody is movable. We're not that team. Not right now.
Right.
There's no one that isn't immovable. So I would tell you, Mike, for the right price, that's where we are. I want to upgrade around Grady. I think we can do that too, but I'm not going to tell you that everybody's safe because I don't believe that. I just don't think we're that team. We're not, you know, coming off of two Super Bowl runs, and we're not a team that's on the cusp of being in the Super Bowl. So where are you? We're on the other side of that. And therefore, how do I get better? And if that means trading some of my pieces away to get multiple pieces for building purposes, then we've got to do it. More on the Falcons coming up. Let's get to the top three.
It's time for the top three at six.
Top three at six.
Now let's see what we have here.
Oh, these Hawks, man. I mean, they end a home skid on MLK Day. Mike said it. Why didn't they wear those unis? Where are the unis, Mike?
Yeah, according to Mike Conte, who knows about this stuff, when you do the City Edition jersey, so last year we broke out those MLK jerseys, who were a huge hit. They sold a gazillion of them. Apparently that you get to do that once and that's it. And whether it's, you know, whatever the NBA rule on that is, or Nike or whoever's been making these things for getting more people buy more uniforms, you can't go back to it. You would think that we'll ask Steve Coonan about this, Carl, on Friday. Can't you talk to Silver and go, it's Atlanta, it is the birthplace of the civil rights movement, MLK, you know, I mean, this ML, can't we wear these on MLK Day, if nothing else, right? And be good branding for the NBA. So with all due respect, I don't like those jerseys. Those are the jerseys they wear when I got here. There's no good memories about those Dikembe Mutombo, Steve Smith Hawks jerseys. And I don't care if anybody wants to argue with me. No, I remember Dikembe getting posterized by Vince Carter at Alexander Memorial, Carl, at the time they were building. They were building the arena.
Phillips
was getting built. So no, I have no good memories about those unis, but the good news is they did find a way and showed poise after, I guess, Nate kind of lit into him at halftime.
Let's hear from Trae Young talking about this comeback win.
I mean, we just played. We played hard and made some shots. We didn't make shots early on. We were getting a lot of open looks, a lot of wide open looks. We just didn't make some shots, and it happens. But we kept playing and kept fighting, and I mean, got enough stops to pull out the win.
30 for Trae last night. And by the way, you know, we needed him to come on. I mentioned, I think I tweeted it, we need Trae to have a big fourth quarter. He did. And when we've not had the lead with 4 minutes to play, it's been an L. To take the lead with about 4 minutes to play and then extend that lead and then win the game, to me, that was the statement, Mike. That's something we haven't done consistently this year. We've been in games, and all of a sudden what happens? Four or five minutes in the game. Team takes off. We don't play D, and then they win. That's what's happened.
Yeah, and I know that you know, John Collins has kind of come to the forefront of this and calling guys out, but just expecting his teammates to do more. I thought last night everybody played great. Herter, you know, Red Velvet had a huge shot late. We already talked about DeAndre Hunter on both ends of the floor going high off the glass. Okongwu, 36 minutes for Okongwu last night, which, you know, you and I love this guy. Capella was out, so just hope that they can keep on trucking, where then you say to Travis, all right, Travis, let's pull the trigger on a big move here and maybe get whatever you think. And people disagree on, I say, another wing. What would you want to get right now?
That's it. Yeah. I'm not going to count out or discount anyone who can come and help. There's a bunch. There's probably about five guys in the league right now that I'm looking at that are tradable, that are good offensively but really good defensively. And it's hard to find, you know, both end guys, right? Usually it's one or the other. But I would not be disappointed, Mike, with the idea, again, with the Ben Simmons thing that's still out there. I know a lot of Hawks fans, you know, you might go, no way, I thought you hated this guy. Well, he didn't play for us. Of course I hated him. But I also don't know where his head is at. I don't want him to come here and be disruptive, which is also the part of this that you may be inheriting if you were to make that trade. But if you're going to tell me we add defense and some scoring at the trade deadline, I'm all for it. If that's a star or a couple of pieces potentially, then I'm all for it. The problem is, Mike, how are you maneuvering that? What are you? Are you just giving up draft capital? Mm. Do you want to move any of the everyday pieces on this team right now?
Well, it gets back to the you know, the conversation about Ben Simmons. You know, I mean, you got a leader or a guy who espouses or wants to be a leader in John Collins to a guy that would have to come into. I said this to Carl earlier. You got to bring Ben Simmons into a strong locker room culture. Okay, if the Lakers had a bunch of money, they got egos, they got older guys, they got old dudes, man. You got some teams. You bring a guy down to Miami, Jimmy Butler ain't gonna play with any of that nonsense. You know. He's already been to Philly. He's already seen it up close. So I think you got to take Ben Simmons and you got to put him in the right environment. And without John Collins, is this the right environment? John Collins, he'd want John Collins. We couldn't even make that work anyway. I just think the ask is going to be too much for this organization.
It may be. It may be. Again, you're still talking about two first-round picks. But as I've said, I don't want to get younger. I don't want two first-round picks that are not playing right now.
Right. So, I mean, that's – and Nate's not going to change anytime soon on that one either.
you know, not that they're ready. I mean, Jalen Johnson has a lot of potential, but I'm just saying, we got two first rounders. You're going to add two more first rounders? Well, they'll be ready in 2032. I don't care about that. I want to win now, man. So we'll see what the Hawks do. Trade deadline February 10th. Hey, Rams last night, blow out the Cardinals, wrap up wild card weekend. We've been talking about it all day here on the show. We'll start to turn the page, head to different parts of the country, and get you ready for the divisional round, which I think is going to be great matchups and games this weekend. But, Mike, Matthew Stafford, he finally got that monkey off of his back.
Yeah, and I think that Matt, it's we can bring it back to the Falcons. We can talk about it. You know, it's what Matt Ryan really needs and has needed for much of his career. But here's a guy. I gave Carl the numbers. No one's even gotten close to 700 yards the last three seasons in Detroit as the leading running back. And then you put him on a team in the Rams, and Cam Akers comes back, and almost every big play was set up through play action. Because Matthew Stafford is, remember at Georgia, Carl, he was always good at play action.
Sure.
So you put Stafford in that mix, and then Odell Beckham's making plays. Cooper Kupp is just burning people left and right. Stafford finally gets the monkey off his back because he's surrounded with better talent. That's how it works.
He is. Speaking of Kupp, this is Stafford to Kupp. This made it 28-0. At this point, you were like, it's a wrap.
Second and six from the seven. Here comes the blitz. Slides to his right. Throws low. Caught the goal line. Cooper Kupp makes the catch for the touchdown. The Triple Crown winner. Cooper Kupp has the fourth touchdown of the game, and the Rams are blowing it open.
Now, you did not like the Triple Crown call from the home announcer.
What am I watching? The Kentucky Derby? But I mean, what are we talking about?
This is rarefied air the receiver that wins the most. First off, you get the most catches, you get the most yards, and most importantly, you get the most touchdowns. Steve Smith has won this award. Jerry Rice has been that guy who's won the Triple Crown. I mean, it's a pretty elite company, man.
It is. I just thought the corniness of it.
He's got the
Triple Crown! Oh, yeah, that was the part. Cooper Kupp's a dude, man. Rams are good. We'll see what they can do on the road against the Bucks. That game's Sunday. We're going to talk more playoffs throughout the course of the week and bring you the biggest guest. Hey, coming up, most important story. Mike and I were just talking about it. Is there anybody you want to stay? If you had a choice, you'd be like, eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
The most important story of the day.
All right, Mike, who's staying? Who's going? We're talking about our Falcons coming off of this wild card weekend. You watch the games, you see how good some of these teams are, even the teams that lost. Some of these teams, you know, again, you go, why did they lose? What happened? But the fact is, you start looking at the talent level. You start looking at the building blocks of some of these teams. And some of the teams that got beat, the Cowboys guys are going to be good. Defense is young. They got star power. They're fine. They're going to come back. You know, you could argue that was simply coaching and execution that got them beat. But, Mike, what do we have, right? That's what you start to look at. Where are we going now, and how do we start to get some of these building blocks?
As I mentioned, guys, Jeff Schultz had an article today in The Athletic talking about, you know, the priorities and, you know, obviously how much we love Grady. We'd hate to lose Grady, but he does have some value, and he's going into the last year of his deal. By the way, the Matt Ryan hit is $48 million unless you move it, which means, yes, they will have to move Matt's money again, other than the outright release and things, which still require a big hit. Yeah, Matt is projected number one hit, $48.6 million. And again, guys, I'm not going to spend all day on this because I didn't take Econ 101 in college. But for those who don't follow, Matt was one of the guys who moved his money. So this is the ultimate, you know, chickens have come home to roost on the contract. Grady Jarrett at 23, Jake at 23 million, Debo at 20 million. And it gets interesting. There's an article that came out last week from Josh Kendall, and I referenced it, but we didn't get really in-depth on it. But in a nutshell, he asked the question, I'll go with the fan favorite. I'll work my way to the big money guys. You and I spent last week talking about how much would you pay Cordero Patterson.
Yeah.
We might not be able to afford Cordero Patterson based on, well, I mean, he's going to want a 3-year deal. He's going to have some market value out there. It was a 1-year, $3 million deal that Fontenot offered Patterson. And obviously, Arthur Smith gets more out of this guy than anything. Did the production that went down at the end of the year diminish the way you feel about Cordero Patterson? Or you say that's a byproduct of how just the offense just wasn't good?
No, it wasn't good. I think he flourished in a bad offense due to play calling and his ability to make plays in situations that they put him in. I don't think that had any bearing whatsoever on my value on Cordero Patterson.
No, I mean, if we got out possessed like 2-1 in that final game, by the way. We had like 20 minutes of possession. But I want Patterson back. But they just bring up the point that the over-the-cap value his season at $8.8 million. But some teams, and this is the article that's in The Athletic, they bring up the point that says, you know, he's not a spring chicken, Carl. He's a guy that's getting up there a little bit.
And
Yeah, and if you look at him and you say, I love the performance, I love this guy, everything he brings, but would you say I can't spend, you know, $9 million on a guy at this stage when this team's got no money?
Yeah, here's my question. Who else you spending on?
Well, you're going to have to, if you can't find it in the draft, you're going to have to, you know, you're definitely going to have to find some offensive line pieces at some point.
Yeah.
You know, defense, I don't think we're ever going to go down that road again, defensive line, as far as free agent-wise. But Cordarrelle Patterson, if it's $8 million or $10 million, I like it. I'm just saying they're making the argument. We just don't have all that money. We don't have the coin to do it.
No. When I say who else you're going to spend it on, there's two classifications here. And we'll dive into this more as we get closer to the end of the season, because that's when you start talking about some of this stuff, and I'm talking about the Super Bowl.
He'll be 31 here in a couple of months. He'll be 31 to start next year.
But the first classification is take care of your own. So who are you paying? Who are you upgrading or, you know, incentivizing their contract in a way that you feel like you're going above and beyond? The other part is who can we go pay to come in and help us? That's a different conversation than taking care of your own. So when I say that, I'm not saying we're not going to spend any money. Yeah. What I'm saying is look at your roster and tell me who else you're paying. Who else are you upgrading?
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm just saying you're going to have that money for all those things we talked about. The depth, you're going to have to continue to go through one-year deals, guys at $1 million in the secondary. All those guys we signed will be gone, and those guys will be replaced by somebody else. Now, hopefully we nail some of these. We can actually create some starters, three or four in the draft like we did in 16. Give credit to Dimitroff. He did that. But the article, and I'm giving you the broad strokes because there's a lot of stuff about the cap, is did Deion Jones take a step backwards this year for the Falcons? I think he did. And do you say, is that a guy I would try to move in the offseason?
Debo?
Yeah. He's a big hit.
He's a big cap hit. Well, there's three guys, right? It's Debo.
Debo's a $20 million hit. Ridley's an $11 million hit, projected on that fifth-year option.
Yeah, Foye's the other guy you might want to pay, by the way, you know, as I talked about that. If you're going to talk about who are you upgrading, all right, on your own roster, that might be another guy. You lead the league in tackles, and he showed you in a new defense what he could do. You feel pretty comfortable with that. Okay, but, yeah, the three big guys, Grady, Debo, and then Matt, right? Those are three guys that you're trying to maneuver around, basically, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, and this guy won't be back. He mentions that, Hayden Hurst will be gone. Dante Fowler will, again, they're going to get Dante Fowler off the books. This is from last week's article from Josh Kendall in The Athletic. Yeah. And then he gets into some of the guys. He goes, he doesn't think Deion will be back. He says it might be the second trickiest call on the roster. He says Jones was the team's second leading tackler this year. He goes, but he did not play up to the level of a deal that jumps to $20
million. Are you 100 right now?
And we like Michael Walker. But do you feel that Debo wasn't as successful this year because of the Dean Pease defense, or a little? I can't remember a year where Deion got ran over or ran around more than this year.
I know.
I'm not trying to be prisoner of the moment. I mean, I went to these games. I saw it happen on the field. Ridley, and there's another thing. Ridley, he doesn't think he'll be back. I think Steve Wyche nailed it 3 weeks ago. I think Ridley is gone. Whatever happens and whatever, we wish him well, and we hate to lose him because it's another thing I got to replace. Yeah. I got to go find another wide receiver. And that's why I said there's no way I could draft a wide receiver in the first round. That's insanity. But it's going to be a need. You'll have to go get some wash-up from the Jaguars or something, Carl, to play wide receiver on this team. That's where it's going to be.
What do you guys think, by the way? You can text us, 404-741-0929. Text us. Hit us up on social media as well. Big decisions, man. And you know, when you say this, all these decisions will lead to, and here's the thing, Falcon fans, you can easily say, well, we ain't a playoff team next year anyway. How long are we going to say that? At some point, you got to start putting the pieces into place that make you a viable team to get there. And I would tell you, Mike, again, we overachieved. If you're going to tell me we add a few pieces, upgrade some areas in the draft, why can't that be an additional 2 to 3 more wins on this team with a team that we should have won 2 or 3 more already this year?
Yeah, but here's the other thing with this. I mean, you're right. We've got Matt. Come hell or high water, through hook or crook, this will be the last year of Matt Ryan. Okay, and I don't have to defend him anymore, these guys. You don't understand that football requires 11 players to play or 10 players to play along with the quarterback, including those 5 guys to protect him from getting killed. So this will be the final year for Matt. But I will say this. We won 7 games this year. you and I came in on Monday, and nearly every damn win felt like a loss for half of this fan base, which is ridiculous.
It did.
Because and again, I do think at some level marketing comes into this. You got to get fans back in the seats. I've never seen the Mercedes-Benz Stadium more empty. And again, I know COVID does. There's other mitigating factors, Carl, but there's no buzz. There's no buzz about this team right now. I mean, there's no stars. Ridley's a star. Julio was the guy that the dudes, the casual fan, wanted to see.
Yeah, the guy again, and it's no fault of his own, is Pitts, who had a great season.
Right.
He's got to be more flashy, more flamboyant. And when
we got to get him in the end zone.
Correct. I'm not talking about, you know, him flapping his wings and dancing. I'm talking about just scoring and being more of a bigger factor. Mm-hmm. That you are starting to go, wow. That's got to come along. I want to see who we draft, Mike. If you go after one of these, sexy positions, mm-hmm. we've been talking about edge rushers, and let's say we find a way, okay, hypothetically, what are we, 8 right now, I think, 8th or 9th or whatever.
Correct.
It is. Let's just say we find a way into the top, 4, hypothetically, all right? And you were able to go get one of these name brand edge rushers. That helps build excitement. There's two things, guys, that get you excited. I'm not just talking about us as Falcon fans. This is period. Sagging the quarterback, scoring points. We didn't do one of those really well, and we did the other one okay, but we didn't do it enough.
Right.
That's what we got to do.
I mean, the good news is it's a deep defensive end draft. As we spoke with Chuck, if you missed it, Chuck Smith's online at odyssey.com, 92.9 The Game. It's just that we don't have a lot of cap space. I know what you're saying, but we are not going to have the cap space to do those things. I mean, we are going to have to be, I hate to break it to people, unless we move people like Grady or Debo, we're going to be ballers to a degree on a budget again, Carl, this offseason in free agency.
Yeah, it is. Hey, can we hear from Terry Fontenot real quick? This was last week, Mike, at the presser, talking about the cap situation. He understands that this is going to be a part of how he maneuvers. It's not his fault. Again, he's inherited this, but now he's got to get the checkbook right. This is Terry Fontenot.
Well, yeah, we're in a better spot because the cap did increase this year. That was one of the big challenges last year because of the cap going down so much, and we already had challenges prior to that. But this offseason, the cap did increase, and yet there still are challenges here for the next couple of years. But, again, we have to look at every contract, every player, whether they're under contract or not, and make the best decision for this team moving forward.
So I don't think you can downplay it, Mike. Yeah, the cap goes up, but, you know, it's sort of like you get a raise and inflation goes up and you break even.
Right.
I mean, it's not like it went up significantly more that we are now able to go spend $80 million. We can't.
No, I'm looking at this, and there's a lot of, again, projections and people trying to get their heads around this. Well, I thought next year we're good and done with the cap. Well, not necessarily. If you look at it right now, we use the website SpotRack. And the Falcons, Carl, could go get a defensive end. There's also a really good draft. You know, you could argue, don't we need some defensive backs? Don't we need some corners?
Yeah.
Opposite A.J. Terrell? I mean,
yeah.
I know.
Is Oliver coming back, by the way?
Yeah, I got to look. And he'll be out there. He'll be a free agent.
I'm just asking. I mean, that was another guy they felt like that was working well.
As Squidbilly would say, oh, man, they'll move some money. Stop yelling. But right now the Falcons are the 27th lowest. We've got we're actually $2 million, just under $3 million in the red right now before we start making roster moves.
All right, guys, it's Dukes and Bell. Let's get to tonight's game winner, Mike.
Hey, man, I saw today on that 70s sports, a really cool Twitter follow that I love. There's lots of good references. It always seems to get me right in the sweet spot, Carl, of childhood. Today they were talking about your favorite baseball games. Did you ever play Strat-O-Matic baseball? You ever play that
back
thing?
In the day? That was really like nerd baseball,
that was,
wasn't
yeah.
it?
My dad had the cooler version. It was called Red Barber's Baseball. He kept that thing from his childhood. It was for Brooklyn Dodgers announcer. Had a game with dice. It kind of introduced me to like the world of craps.
Okay.
Anyway, Carl, the game winner and Chris, feel free to chip in. Your favorite board game. And by the way, do families still have game night? Is that gone? Is that like 1965? What's going on?
Listen, I mean, I think a lot of families still do it. It's almost nostalgic now to play board games because everything's so digital and video game-ish now.
Right.
But, yeah, absolutely. I think
because we were talking earlier, Squidbilly had it in Yeah Man, No Man, talking about wearing the Oculus, these big goggles, and the virtual reality stuff. When's the last time you played a board game? 404-741-0929. Analog, baby.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
And the winner is...
Time to take the game winner on Dukes and Bell. Your last chance to sound off on today's show. So don't stink. Call now, 404-741-0929. Today's question...
Hey, man, board games. I was following that Super 70s. I love that website, or the Twitter follow, Carl. Always has great stuff. They got some great old slam dunk competition videos. The one where I got Neek for his birthday the other day, they got Larry Nance hanging in air looking like an action figure. So it's always a cool follow on the Twitter. But, yeah, man, they were asking about board games, and there was one they did, Stratomatic Baseball. As Carl said, it really was kind of like a nerd game. It was very nerdy. But Super 70 Sports, if you hadn't, they're cool. They follow us too. Hey, man, you're on the radio. Your favorite board game, or Carl, the last board game you might have played with the family. How's that sound? You're on the radio, bud. Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey.
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
What do you mean? I don't understand.
Maybe the child or the wife doesn't realize they're on the air?
No, maybe they are. You guys are on the air.
Hey! Smooth. Hi-yo, you're on the radio all over the Southeast. Never mind. Chris, is it so seamless? Maybe we should have like a sounder. When people, like, when they know they're on the air, you hear like a nyack, nyack. You know, like, Carl, what do you think?
Well,
you
know? There it does that on their end of the phone. We can't hear it on the air, but they get a little bing when your line is selected on the air. So everyone out there listening, when you hear the bing, you're on the air.
Okay. It's kind of like a board game. You got to play by the rules. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Your favorite board game, the last board game you played. What do you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
One of them was a family game we used to play every Thursday night. It was called Parcheesi. And the other one, you remember that?
Yeah.
The other one is, of course, Monopoly. We always loved that.
I just remember playing Monopoly, like, when my relatives would come over, Carl, for the holidays, and I would always be the banker, and I always, like, embezzle and steal, and my cousin Jen, like, could never figure it out, like, Battleship. You know, she could never figure out I was moving the ships.
Yes.
No, I mean, it was kind of, I know this is mean, but it's kind of like, we're the city kids, and my hippie, dippy, upstate New York in-laws come down, and we just totally fleece them, you know? Maybe we should play for money. What do you say? Anyway, and then my Aunt Mary would find out and freak out. Anyway, memories. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Your favorite board game. What do you got?
Hey, man, the last board game I played with my wife was Risk. And, of course, every time we play, we always fight over the Americas, and I somehow get my ass kicked and fight, end up, you know, cornered in Australia. So.
I love Risk when I was a kid. Love that game.
I did, too. I did, too.
Always cool.
You can play forever, though. I mean, that was like a six-hour adventure there.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Favorite board game. What do you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Oh, Operation, the tweezers, all that. But let me tell you how we turned Strategic Baseball up to another nerd level. We'd had a group of us and ran a season, playoffs, World Series, and actually kept a scorebook.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. That is big
time. The Stratomatic baseball. I mean, my father, again, Carl, it was called Red Barber's Baseball. And it was like, again, the old Brooklyn Dodgers play-by-play announcer. And so you'd have like little, it was like all these little holes on the board. And then you'd bat and you'd roll the dice. And it would basically be you coordinate on the board where it was. And does a player get to it? Is it a hit? So it was kind of like, it wasn't that complicated. It was more like, you know, it was like an easier version. Stratomatic baseball was like next level stuff. That was like Bill James quality right there for the guys who would play it for a season level.
It was. That was crazy. I mean, and then obviously it got into what? Fantasy football, yeah. Which eventually turned into what we're seeing now. Right. But guys, you know, if you're old enough, because fantasy now is easy. It's all computerized. When I started playing fantasy football, the first time I ever got asked, I remember saying, what's that? And then being at a draft that took 6 hours because we had to write everything down. It was handwritten. There was none of this computer printout stuff. And so we were like, yeah, all right. I mean, and I was in college, Mike. We were in college at the time. Yeah. It was like, what are you doing?
I've told you the story of, like, the greatest fantasy football league I was ever in. If you want to talk about, like, ball busting, Craig Sager, we'd be at Jocks and Jill's, the old Midtown location, which is just an empty building now, on 10th and Peachtree. And, Carl, you'd have, remember Rudy Martsky from USA Today?
Yes.
Rudy Martsky.
Yes.
Jim Gray was in this. All the producers from, like, Turner were in it. And the ball busting was, but again, totally analog. The picks all on a white erase board. You know, you're right. You look back at it, like, how the hell could you? And one person had the computer to put the stuff in for the permanent record.
Every time someone would draft, too, it was like, he's taken. He's taken. You didn't have to go by the computer and have things scratched out for you.
Right.
Now it's so easy to get involved. That's why guys are in, like, 6 or 7 leagues in some cases. You can only do one league back then. It was just crazy.
Have either of you guys ever heard of MLB Showdown, by the
way? Yes.
Yeah, so that game took over when I was in middle school, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. We played every single day at lunch during summer camp.
Wow.
It's basically a 20-sided die, and you roll it, and you have cards of all the players in the league, and they have individual stats.
That's
so
right.
It sounds like sort of an advanced version of the Stratomatic that you guys are talking
about.
Awesome, it's true.
Man.
It is. That's what it was. Good pull, Chris. Right. Yes.
That's Chris, the engineer producer, and the brains of the operation with Squid. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for the last board game or your favorite board game?
Hey, man.
Hello.
Hey.
The best game out there is Worst Case Scenario. It's a card game.
What's it called?
Worst Case Scenario.
Worst Case Scenario.
Okay.
Check that out. I'm not familiar with that. You?
Right now. I'm going to look it up right now.
All right,
Worst.
All right.
Now, again, there's other stuff you can play, like at the house, like we always do. You ever do the left, right, center with the dice?
Yeah.
We always do that at the house. When I go to the Byers, my make-believe Irish cousins, they're the cops and firemen here in Atlanta, and we get invited to their house. We do that. Worst case scenario, a concept in risk management. Okay. All right. I'm looking for the game, or I'm looking for – I'm trying to find the game. Chris, what does it mean? I can't find the game.
Now, I say this, Mike. You talk about people playing board games. Like, my people, we still play cards. Y'all still play cards out there?
The girls were playing dominoes. We had the house down in Amelia Island. All the wives, when we were watching football, the women were all playing dominoes all night.
Dominoes, cards. We still playing spades out there. What are we doing?
That we all play with my friends is catchphrase. That game is awesome. You can get into some heated battles playing catchphrase.
Oh, okay.
I'm looking at this, worst case scenario, a card game when disaster strikes, who thinks alike? Okay, 3 to 4 players.
Oh, that's not happening. You can't get two people in America to think alike.
Well, that family enjoyed it. They had the child call in twice.
I know. Hey, little man, appreciate you, though, bro. Yeah, thank you, and hey, man, to you, all right?
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Your favorite card game, or just say last table game you actually played. What do you got?
Me and my son, we always get together and we play Risk, Monopoly, Yahtzee. Family game time is always a plus.
See, there you go, Carl. That's a family that stays together. America right there.
Plays together, stays together.
Yeah, man. I mean, I remember my cousin Jen. Oh, I'm sorry. I've got a hotel on Boardwalk. I didn't know you had a hotel. Yeah, of course, dunce. I just snuck it on there while you were looking at your money. See, Carl, I was a terrible cheat at Monopoly when I was a child. By the way, Cards Against Humanity. You ever play that?
Yes, I have.
That is one of my favorites. That's a fun game. It's kind of like Mad Libs, but really twisted. That's a fun one for the family or the friends. That's cool.
Yeah, those card games where you have to answer questions for adults.
Right.
I mean, it can be fun because then you get into a point where it's like somebody's looking at somebody like, you go answer that.
Alabama fans, you have Chutes and Ladders.
That's not right. Tonight's show protected by Mimecast. The email of the day protected by Mimecast. Safeguard your organization against phishing,
business email compromised, the risk of ransomware, guys, visit Mimecast.com, M-I-M-E-C-A-S-T.com. Hey, tonight it is timeout. I had it earlier, and I have to go back because I marked these throughout the course of the show. It is Mark who texted us, emails us earlier today. This is from Mark. Hey, heard you guys talking about the playoffs. If Dan Quinn becomes the new head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, I don't know what I'm going to do. I never would have thought that Dan Quinn would even be a viable candidate after leaving Atlanta the way that he did. Did right. anybody watch those last three seasons with Dan Quinn as the head coach?
Right.
How could Jerry Jones even think about this? Even if I didn't like Mike McCarthy, I can't hire Dan Quinn based on how he left Atlanta as a head coach. Great coordinator, not a great HC.
I'm with you. I don't think unless he's learned his lessons like Belichick did in Cleveland. But man, I just feel a guy like that with the wrong team, players will take advantage of him being the player's coach.
Yeah.
like kind of like what happened here.
Yeah, it's true. Bo, you're a trip. Hey man, let's get out of here and clear our throats.
Dukes and Bell are wrapping up another show, so it's time for
Let Me Clear My Throat
on Sports Radio 92.9.
Oh!
Now, Carl, one thing happens if Dan Quinn gets a head coaching job, we're probably going to lose Bo Morgan as his new PR director, right?
Well, listen, that can you imagine that might happen? I mean, hell, you never know, man. I mean,
Bo could be Kearns.
Hey, I talked to DQ a couple of weeks ago, right? As they're about to head into the playoffs, he's happy. I mean, I'll make it happen. I'll get you guys an interview, too. You'll be the first interview outside of wherever the new city is.
Yeah, all right. He is happy.
That and some might say the 340 segment ratings will never be higher.
Wow. All right, man. Chris, great job behind the glass. Hey, we are chasing down NFL guests all week, guys. We're going to bring you the biggest and best coverage. NFL playoffs continues, and we're talking about it. Hawks back in action tomorrow. Can we build on it? We're also chasing down a couple of Hawks to talk to. Find out who may join us tomorrow on the show, so make sure you tune in. Hey, Chris, great job behind the glass. Turtle and our man, Bo Morgan, executive producing. Mike Bell, let's get out of here, man. Clear your throat.
Hey, man, so many dogs are coming back. Robert Beal, one of the dudes to announce today. Everybody with the last name of Smith is coming back to the Dogs next year. Defense is going to be pretty good, man. Certainly, Carl, the excitement of players. And now, as you said, all day long, waiting to see Stetson Bennett. I got to be honest with you. For all the guys that bagged on Bennett, you got guys like Vandegrift, all the hype, you know, whether you like him or Gunnar Stockton. One thing for certain, Kirby knows exactly what he has with Stetson Bennett. You know how he handles the game. You know how he handles the pressure situations. You know how he gets the ball to the playmakers. If you could have Stetson Bennett back, why wouldn't you? You guys get hung up on recruiting, and I understand we've always argued about the superstar player for Georgia. You've got the guy in place. The guy's name's Stetson Bennett. Come on.
I am with you. Hey, man, Trae Young is the fourth player in NBA history to have 6,000-plus points, 2,000-plus assists, prior to turning 24. The other guys that did it, and they did it in more games, Isaiah Thomas, Stephon Marbury, LeBron James, Trey's done it in 243 games. All those guys did it in more games. Isaiah Thomas did it in 288. That's 40-some-odd more games than Trey. Hey, we got something special. We just got to get this team playing together and playing some D like they did last night, and we might be able to get back to where we were last year. We'll see. Hey, man, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
your favorite board game is Dungeons & Dragons, and you're upset it was not mentioned. Let me roll that eight-sided die.
Before you do that, Larry, let's go to Peyton. He's going to break down that touchdown. Can't hear
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details.
Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.